reading this morning will be taken from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 7. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I delivered them unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man.
This past week, we were often reminded of how people are frequently the victim of a lie. There were two major news stories about Ponzi schemes, and those, of course, are schemes that involve fraudulent investments. Well-known people like Steven Spielberg have fallen victim to financial lies. Other people were certainly lied to this past week, but they probably did not make the national news. In our world, as we look, we find that there are examples of people who receive various pieces of information, but that information is simply not true. The Bible warns us that this is a fairly common part of life. People lie for one reason or another, and the lie that they're told is a lie that they end up believing. A Bible example of this is found in the book of Colossians. Those who received the Colossian letter had left behind their former manner of life. In Colossians 3, Paul says that they had put off various activities because they had become God's children. In the first chapter, he said that they'd been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light, Colossians 1, verse 13. In between the discussion of changing kingdoms, Colossians 1, and altering their lifestyle, Colossians 3, we have some information in chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul issues a warning, and he said to these brethren, you can be deceived, Colossians 2, verse 4. This I say, that no one may delude you with persuasiveness of speech. Paul knew that there are some good talkers in life. That was true in the first century, and it's certainly true in our day and time. There are people who have the ability to communicate very, very well, and people often use that gift. Unfortunately, people do not always use this gift in the right way. Sometimes people who have the gift of communication use that ability to delude others. In some cases, people will delude others when it comes to investments. We also find, as we look at Colossians 2, that there are cases where people delude others in the area of religion. There were some false teachers who wanted to delude or lead astray the Christians at Colossae. Paul had some concern that these brethren were going to believe the lie, so he issues some warnings, one of which is found in Colossians 2, verse 6. As therefore ye receive Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You know the way that's right. There are some people out here that do not want you to continue in this way, but Paul said you stay on this particular path. Do not follow the religious lies that are in your culture. In life, of course, people are given the freedom to believe whatever they want. They can believe the truth, or they can believe a lie, or they may believe some lies and some truth. Today, we want to consider some of the lies that people believe and then relate them to a common source. That common source is evolution. We all, I think, know the basics of evolution. There is no God, there is no master designer, everything is here either because of chance or space aliens. Now, of all the dumb ideas I have heard in my life, and I think I've heard at least a few, evolution in my mind is at the top of the list. The building that we sit in this morning has walls, there is a roof, and arranged pews. Did this structure and the things associated with it just one day happen? Or as we look at this structure, the doorways, the bathrooms, the lighting, is it here because there was design? When we drive away today, we will see roads, towns, businesses, lights, houses, a variety of things. Did all of these things come into being by time and chance? or was there design? As we look at the human body, we find that it has a number of bones, bones that we can count and describe, use the various names that have been attributed to them, that kind of thing. We can consider the organs that the human body has. We can look at how the body has organs that are positioned just right. We can look at the number of eyes that we have, the number of ears that we have, and say, hey, that just that's exactly right. That's what we need. We can think of how the hands and the feet operate. We can look at our fingernails and see that they grow, for example, faster than our toenails. Does the human body, all that we have, indicate design or random chance? Everything in life cries out for a designer. If you are on the BNP list, that email devotional, expect something very unusual tomorrow. It's the most unique thing I think I've ever sent out. It's going to take a little while to get through. You'll need PowerPoint to view it. But if you'll take the time to review that material that's coming out tomorrow, it will illustrate in two very impressive ways what we're talking about this morning and what Paul tried to indicate in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. That is, the creation shows that there is a creator. We see God in the design of things. Now, there are those who choose to believe a lie that there is no God. And that lie is a very bold lie. It says that we can't explain where we came from, let alone where matter came from, but everything is just kind of from somewhere. And everything has just somehow all come together in a very nice way, and we are very fortunate folks. Now, we can believe that kind of thing, and we can stamp the word scientific on that kind of idea. But evolution is a lie, and the consequences that flow from that lie are numerous, and they are very serious. When people believe in a lie, for example, they have no spiritual hope. And that lack of a spiritual hope leads to some of the lies and consequences. For example, there is the lie about money. There is the lie that says if we have money, we will be happy. If we do not have money or a lot of money, we're going to be miserable. When people have no spiritual hope, they must turn to another hope, and that's going to be material in nature. Well, people have been trying that kind of hope for a long time. Earthly hope, earthly desires, earthly aspirations, and people have repeatedly been disappointed. Look at the people that we mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, the people who were involved unknowingly in some kind of Ponzi scheme. Even the people who ran it found misery. One crook, about 70 years of age, is probably going to spend the rest of his life in a prison facility. Now, it may not be the worst kind of prison facility, but he's going to be confined, likely for life, and face some misery. Those who lost a great deal of money in the scheme that this man and others have run are also now in a state of misery. This past week, if you watched the news, you may have noted that there are a number of billionaires who have lost about a third of their wealth in recent times. And these people are not celebrating. They're not thinking, well, hey, we've lost a lot and the market has gone down, so let's go ahead and spend some more money, and that's going to make us very rich a little bit later. They're very unhappy. If evolution is true, and we have no spiritual hope, and we have no material hope when things fall apart, what do we have? Nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 says that we bring nothing into the world. That same passage also says that we take nothing out. We're born with nothing, we die with nothing. In between birth and death, we may get a few things, we may have several million things. But you know, in the end, all are the same. We leave it all behind. It does not matter who we are, all renounce at one time or another the physical wealth. And that time, of course, is the time of death. The world's idea is to go out and amass, to get all that we can in life, to enjoy ourselves, because our life is not forever. God's plan is to use all we have in the most effective way, because our life is forever. Evolution not only causes people to emphasize the wrong thing, that is material gain, it emphasizes other things such as sin. If there is no God, why should we be concerned about sin and wrong? Why not choose to engage in activities that the Bible refers to as incorrect or sinful? If we want to cheat people, and we're not going to be caught, or at least the likelihood of that is not very high, why not engage in that activity? If we want to hurt someone, if that's our instinct, why not act on that brute instinct if we are the product of evolution? This is what we saw last week with a man who went on a shooting spree in Alabama. You may have read about him. He was a 28-year-old man, a fairly young man, and he killed 10 people. If you follow the story, at least some of the updates, you may have noticed that he had a list of people who had done him wrong. I was intrigued a little bit by the list because they mentioned on there one fellow that had specifically agitated this fellow. This man apparently was involved at a place where he cut pork chops. And someone complained that he cut the pork chops too thin. Because of that complaint. Because someone said about this 28-year-old man, he cuts the pork chops too thin. This 28-year-old man put that complainer on his hit list. And you need to die. Now, I don't know if that fellow was one of the people who was killed or not, but at least he was on the intended victim list. Now, society wants to say that people like this are psychopaths, or they've got this issue or that issue, and in many cases that may be true. But why don't we also include the fact that our society has, on virtually every level, told people that you are an animal at your core. You have come from an ape. You have come from a monkey. You are just an advanced beast of the field. If we tell people that on a regular basis, if that's what we start instilling in children, or we allow our children to believe, and that belief is given to them through their schooling, and that is what lasts into their adult years, they're probably going to at least believe that on some level. And then should we be surprised that people act on what they've been trained to believe for all those years? According to evolutionary thought, there is no God in whose image we have been formed. We are just a little bit more refined than our ancestors. If our relatives are apes, why should we not act like them? Our world often looks down on things like adultery. But if evolution is true, we must ask, why is that the case? Why is marital unfaithfulness wrong? If animals are not monogamous and they're our ancestors, why should we be any different? Animals do not operate by law. If we are just advanced beasts of the field, and that's the claim by some, what is the basis for our law? If man is the highest authority in the universe, the greatest power, then there is no authority besides him. If evolution is true, we have no right to make any moral judgments. We never have the right or the privilege to say this is right or this is wrong, because there is no power besides ourselves. And we certainly have no right or no ability for one nation to condemn another. Our world, as we listen to it, often likes to talk about human rights and the need to treat people with respect. If evolution is true, then our Constitution is the law of the jungle. It is survival of the fittest. Evolution says we are here because of natural selection. That is, through a long process of time, things have adapted and adopted, and the strong have survived and the weak have perished. Now, if that is the history of man, why do we not act in accordance with our history? Evolution teaches us that the wages of sin is going to see a judge and perhaps a jury, and we may be fined, or we may be sent to prison for a period of years, or in the worst case scenario, the penalty is physical death. But that's a lie. God says that we violate his law, and the wages of that violation is death, eternal death, separation from God, Romans 6, verse 23. Believing in evolution means that we must deny a high percentage in virtually everything that the Bible teaches. The idea that we have descended from non-human sources is not only untrue, but it has a number of serious implications and repercussions. How many of us have heard the expression and maybe even said that honesty does not pay? Well, I hope if we're a Christian we've not said that, but maybe we've made that point for one reason or another. We're probably familiar with those words, maybe we've said those words, but have we ever tried to relate them to the subject of the theory of evolution? Saying that honesty does not pay is completely consistent with evolutionary thought. Why be honest? Why have what we consider to be integrity if there is no God? What benefit is there in being upright as we deal with others? Someone might say, well, it makes me feel good if I'm honest in dealing with other people. Now, that may be true. But aside from this, what benefit is there in being truthful? In many cases, if we're honest, if we look at things truthfully or logically, we find that honesty creates more problems than it solves. There are going to be times in life where we are asked to give an honest opinion about someone or something. How do we feel about this? Or how do we feel about this particular person? And that honest answer gets us into trouble with a mate. Or it gets us into difficulty with a child, a coworker, or a good friend. The Bible recognizes Galatians 4, verse 16, that if we tell the truth to someone, that may cause that person to become our enemy. If man is nothing more than an advanced animal, honesty often does not pay. Believing in evolution is an incentive to not tell the truth. You know, this point used to be well understood by the American people. But I'm persuaded that evolution has become so popular that folks no longer recognize all of the implications that are associated with it. I've read that about 6 U.S. states have a law on the books that prohibits atheists from serving in public office. Did you know that? 6 U.S. states. If you are an atheist, you are not allowed to serve in public office. Now, those laws, from what I can tell, are not enforced, but they do exist. One of the states that has had this law in the books for a while is Arkansas. You can look it up if you've got the sheet, the 1874 Arkansas Constitution. Check out Section 1 in Article 19. Now, back in 1961, more than 40 years ago, the Supreme Court said, now, wait a minute, these laws are not constitutional. But, you know, there was a time in American society and life when things were very, very different. In the first part of the 20th century, some states did not allow atheists to testify in court. You need to be a witness. You need to testify against someone or about this particular thing. If you don't believe in God, you can't testify. That's the way that the law used to be. And the reason for that law was people believed if you do not believe in God, if you think that we're here because of evolution, you have no incentive to tell the truth. There is no higher power than man. Therefore, what thing is going to be held over your head if there is no deity? You have no incentive to be truthful to this court. And the early thinkers in this country were exactly right, but we've forgotten about that. Atheism eats away the fabric of a society like gangrene attacks a human body. Now, if atheism were true, that would be one thing. But it is not true. It's a lie that many believe, and the consequences from this lie are staggering. One of the sad consequences involves children. If parents do not believe in God, then there is no moral basis on which to raise children. How many of us have seen parents who have said about their children, or maybe to their children, our children are going to decide about these matters on their own. They're going to have the opportunity to decide what they believe about this, that, and the other thing. They're going to decide what their moral values are. Not only is that sometimes done in the area of morality, it's sometimes done in the area of religion. I've met parents, and maybe you have as well. I hope it's not true in your home, but parents have said sometimes, well, our children are going to choose which church or what faith they have in their later years. Parents who have this kind of mindset when it comes to letting kids pick and choose their values or even their religion may not realize it, but they've been affected by evolutionary thought. If there is a God, and that God has revealed his will, then parents should instruct their children in that regard. The only true choice, if there is a God and he's revealed his will, is are you going to follow his will or not? That's the true choice. Parents should instruct their offspring in all areas, especially in the area of religion, the spiritual side of life. If evolution is true, then and only then might children choose what they want. As we look at our world, we see that a lot of the discussion that takes place in society involves happiness. And again, may I suggest this morning that even that topic is a consequence of evolution. In the world, people often want to do what makes them happy. Is that not how animals behave? If a big cat is hungry, what's it do? Well, it goes out and kills something because it figures that's going to make me happy. That's going to leave me in a contented state. If it wants a nap, what's it do? It goes out and finds a place to nap because that's going to make it happy. The animal takes what it wants. It does what it wants because that's it's driven by happiness, contentment. If there is a God, man's physical existence is not based on happiness. God wants us to find peace. He wants us to find joy. But those things are not synonymous with happiness. Evolution teaches people to do what they feel like doing if they're not happy. You just go out and fix the problem. You may have seen another news story this past week. It didn't make a lot of attention, but at least it did garner a little bit of interest among some folks. There were some Sony employees that took some executives hostage. And I thought to myself, wow, can you imagine that? Here are some employees, and again, I understand that they were upset because of the cutbacks, but as bad as that was to go into the workplace and take some executives hostage, that's what we're seeing in our life. People were laid off, and people responded to that as if they were made in the image of animals. A lot of the things that we're now seeing in our life, and I mean we can just go one right after another, right down the line, can be traced back to the lie of evolution. I submit this morning that the further our society drifts away from God and his word, the closer we get to secular ideas and things, the worse things are going to get. People, individually, and as a nation, need to wake up and turn to God. Do we remember how this lesson started? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. In that seventh verse that Dave read, it says, man has been made in the image of God. That means that we share in a nature that is similar to God's nature. When the world denies that, and we're living in a time when that's a very popular thing to do, and the world tries to take away that truth, all kinds of terrible consequences can follow and will follow. Knowing this and applying this information helps us individually as well as nationally. We live in a world where they're shouting crisis on every hand. We have a crisis here, and there's a terrible situation here, and things are falling apart here, and there is catastrophe here, and there are dire problems over here. I mean, on every particular thing that we can look at, things seem to just be out of control. The further we move from God, the worse things are going to get. Our world, on many hands, is looking for a solution. But as I look at all the places where they're not looking in the one place that will truly help. We have come from God. We're one day going to return to God to be judged based on how we've lived. We may never convince our society of that, but we as individuals certainly need to be convinced of that point. And this morning we ask a couple of simple questions. If we do believe that we've been designed, if we do believe that our world has come from a creator, do we believe that we're one day going to face him in judgment? Do we believe in him? Do we believe that he's going to judge us? And that's not only true for a group, but that's true for us individually. That one day we'll stand before him. We'll give an account for the time, for the gifts, for the abilities that we had in life. And a key question will be, did we become one of his children? Since we live under the New Testament era, one of the questions will be, did we believe? Did we take our life and we say, well, like the Colossians, we were living this way and that was not right, so we repented. We decided to embrace the ways that were right. Did we acknowledge that Christ was the Son of God, our Savior? And then finally, did we take that last step to become a Christian? Were we baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38? And if we did those things, the next question will be, did we live a faithful and committed Christian life? Well, if we believe in evolution, the answer to those things are probably not. We're not going to believe. If we believe in evolution, we're not going to repent, more than likely. If we believe in evolution, we're not going to confess that Christ is the Savior of the world. And if we believe in evolution, why be baptized? For the forgiveness of our sins, because there is no life after death. And if we believe in evolution, why try to live a faithful Christian life? It is absolutely senseless. Christianity makes no sense if evolution is true. This morning, we hope that if you're persuaded that evolution is not true, you've decided to become a Christian, and you're living a faithful Christian life. If not, think about the consequences of that. And if we can help you write your life with God, we let us know how we can do that as we stand and sing the selected song.
Entrance within thee, is the voice I hear. Sweet is the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, hours dreary, knocking again is he. Jesus, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide. Door of my heart, I why, though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my call,
please be seated.